Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're here.
And Corinne somehow popped off. We thought we would take up a conversation today that we have not touched on in a while, although we have had some speakers join us and talk about candida and overgrowth of candida. So we had Dr. Morton Teach, who's in the New York City area, who is very renowned as someone who treats candida. We've had John Trowbridge, who has a whole program outlined on his website, and you can consult with him. And his book, The Yeast Syndrome, was one that I recommended many, many, many times to people to read. So how I got interested in candida in the first place was working with women with severe PMS. And they were being prescribed some very, very large doses of progesterone as a remedy for those PMS symptoms. And these would be things like high anxiety, lots of headache, even feeling murderous or suicidal. Some really severe things. And progesterone worked like a charm for many, many of those women. And sometimes it didn't. There were some women who said they couldn't stand using progesterone. So I began to wonder, what about these differences when women couldn't stand using progesterone? And it got so that I did a really, really deep dive on this. And I suddenly discovered, it's probably Dr. William Crook's book first, The Yeast Connection and the Yeast Connection and the Woman. And the original research on all this on candida was done by another doctor, Dr. Orrin Truss. And Dr. Truss was just a fabulous investigator. And William Crick followed his ideas and started looking for candida overgrowth. So what's candida? It's in kind of the fungus family. It's kind of a big thing. And when do we see candida overgrowing? So candida overgrows when we do weird things with their bodies. So using foreign hormones, for instance, birth control pills or foreign hormone type drugs, we'll throw off our microbiome. And this is where the candida tends to take over. So candida is a bigger organism, and it doesn't take much for it to overwhelm our gut microflora. And suddenly we have way too much candida. And the candida can flourish when fed. Which is another thing. Your candida overgrowing can self-propagate if you feed it. And what feeds candida? Well, two things make candida grow more, and that is sugar and that is alcohol. Those two things will cause proliferation of that candida. And so will progesterone. If unchecked, you're going to see a rise in candida. And I believe it was Dr. John Trowbridge who lectured with us, and one of the things he had in his book, which was really eye-opening, was that progesterone and use of testosterone and hydrocortisone can raise the amount of candida growing. So the candida, I believe with the progesterone, there's a couple of mechanisms that could be responsible for this. One is progesterone is a hormone, so is testosterone, that works to normalize a low blood glucose. So as soon as you start bringing up your blood glucose, the candida organisms have added nutrition. In a laboratory, it can grow like crazy. So there's that piece of it. Also, there are some immune complexes that go up when progesterone is used. And what happens is this progesterone goes way up during pregnancy. And along with these immune complexes, allow you to carry an alien body in your body to as your baby. And because you have all of this going on, that you don't reject this alien baby, you also don't put a cap on the growth of candida so well. So this is issue really intrigued me. Like, why aren't these women doing so well on progesterone? And so we would get all sorts of really weird symptoms coming up with progesterone. And if it wasn't the usual estrogen imbalance, adrenaline imbalance, we would have other things. And so some of the things that could occur with candida overgrowth is primarily gut issues. If you are agonizing with constipation or bouts of diarrhea, one of the things to do is to check out the candida issue. Another thing that can be a problem, and maybe candida involved, interstitial cystitis is an issue, which women have a chronic bladder irritation, which causes them to need to urinate frequently, but just the volume of urine sets them up, and the urination is extremely painful and burning. Dr. William Crick sort of opened my eyes to this. He said in a personal conversation, said, "Carol, if there is any burning and itching, then look for candida." I'll give you an example of one case that I had this happen, and there was a woman that called into where I was working, and she happened to be a paraplegic, and she had intensely burning vaginal tissue. So what Dr. Crook told me, when you have this burning and itching vaginally, you might go off to your doctor and ask the doctor to check you out, and they'll do a vaginal exam and maybe some swabs, and they'll find nothing there. They're looking for candida, but it's not there. Well, the candida is really centered in your gut microbiome. The gut microbiome is off, and these candida, which are growing cheerfully, will be putting out toxins, and the toxins comes from their metabolic function. They may be just the normal excretion of living organisms, but these molecules are extremely irritating. So where this can come out is through your skin and through your mucus in your vaginal area. So there can be absolutely no sign of actual candida, but you're going to have this irritation, this redness, this itching, and it can be almost unbearable. And so it happened with this young woman, and she told me that she was practically suicidal from the pain. So one of the hints that Dr. Crook gave me was that you wash that area off. You could go into the bathroom, and every time you went in there to urinate, just have a squeeze bottle with a nozzle, a perianal bottle, we would call that, and just squirt water on the area. And this had the effect of clearing off these molecules that were causing all this irritation. So this irritation could be washed off, or you could go into the bathtub and sit in the bathtub. Yes, ma'am. Hi, Corinne. Welcome.
Well, a nightmare. Somehow I got kicked off and I couldn't get back on.
Well, so, glad to have you.
Wonderful job.
I'm just going on and on. I'm wondering when I'm going to run out. Thankfully, you're here. It's much easier.
Oh, it's more fun, more than that. So we discussed, and as you heard, we wanted to talk about Candida. Now, Candida, years ago, everybody that walked in my office, 15 years ago, the reason why they came to me is because everybody knew they had Candida, which is a very difficult thing to diagnose. It was a very difficult thing to diagnose. And more than that is the symptoms are so diffuse that it can be anything. Candida can be anything from infertility to anal itching to a vitiligo to a toe fungus to irregular menses to endometriosis to headaches to joint pain. Now, when someone walks in, to fatigue, to brain fog, when someone walks in with those symptoms, how are you going to diagnose Candida?
Wait.
It becomes difficult, if not impossible.
So, conventional medicine is overwhelmed by this idea that there could be something that was the cause of so many things. You know, I think conventional medicine is built on flowcharts, like if this and that. Uh-huh. And when, just as you so beautifully illustrated, if this, 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 this.
The flowchart explodes right in front
right.
of you. And right. you have to understand, I might pronounce it wrong, is Candida is a commensal organism. It's normal in the intestines. When does it become abnormal? When does it become a pathogen? That's a very, very important understanding and crossover. It used to be that we said it only became a pathogen in very specific cases, in immune suppression, in AIDS, in cancer, in very, very high-dosed steroids.
Yep, like prednisone
triamcinolone
will really increase candida. I want to give out the call-in number.
Oh, yes.
I've gone for some minutes here, and we haven't given out the call-in number.
Which the number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. But it really is true. I named off very diverse symptoms, and all of them can be directly related to Candida. So how do we go about, and how do we understand how Candida affects us and how it becomes pathological? And I think I'm going to go back to the absolute basics, and then we'll build from there. Candida can become very pathological, other than in those specific cases we're talking about in severe immune suppression. It can become pathological with our SAD diet, with excessive sugars, with excessive carbs, with fried foods, foods fried in hydrogenated vegetable oils that are toxic to us. It can switch from something that lives in your intestine normally to an active organism with little fingers, mycelli, that stretch out and start attacking and start taking over the intestinal flora and destroying it, and also creating holes or into the intestines, so that as we're digesting or as we're taking foods in, we have no more intestinal wall protection, and then we become reactive to everything. So this is something we really have to look at and see how and where we can begin to address it, and not to underestimate it or overestimate it in relationship to our lives and our health. I'm going to say again, the number to call, 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. I want to say one other thing, that hormonal imbalances stimulate this fungal, this Candida albicans growth, and it helps it grow, and it's like a circle, in that the elevated estrogens stimulate the growth of the Candida, and the Candida changes the way the hormones react in our body. So,
oh, even more Candida organisms and some of the other fungal organisms can do two things. They can actually be a source of estradiol, your main ovarian estrogen, yes. Or they can put out molecules. The toxins they produce can bind that same estradiol, so you are like in a desert. Your ovaries are working fine, but you get absolutely no estrogen effect. I've seen that happen too. Because of this Candida. I just also want to stick in, before I get too far away from the causes, antibiotic use is probably one of the most common problems. And we still are so apt to go to the doctor, and we seem to have some infection, we don't know what, and be given an antibiotic to take care of that, and we might be sick for a week instead of 7 days as a result. But the meantime, you have sequelae from having used an antibiotic. It's killed off some of the good bacteria in your gut and leaving more room. It's just having the space to grow in, and the Candida can become more and more a bigger percentage of what your gut microbiome is doing.
And block the ability for the good bacteria or the good fungi to continue and maintain balance in your intestines. So you have to understand, this is a little teeter-totter that we work with. And then we're told, when we take an antibiotic, we'll eat yogurt. So what do? We go out and get blueberry yogurt.
Lots of sugar.
Strawberry yogurt, which are very high in sugar. And many of them, actually most of them, unless you look for something different or unique, many of them are pasteurized. So they have no live bacteria in them. So they're not going to re-ferment or help recolonize your intestines. You're just eating something sweet like a candy bar, and that doesn't help you. So let's discuss what we do and how. Well, there's a couple of things I really wanted to get into. I wanted to discuss candida and its effect on the hormones and its effect on us. We know that candida can interfere with fertility. You know, when you see a yeast growth and you touch it, it's almost sandy. It's dry and sandy. Well, when you have a high yeast growth, which is very common vaginally, and then you go to have intercourse because you want to conceive, what happens is that the sperm can't move through the vagina to the ovum because it's being blocked by this kind of dry, sandy, not even mucus any longer, but yeast that's in there, that's overgrowing in there. So the sperm can't even get to the egg. So you wonder why you can't get pregnant. And then let's follow that backwards. And then we see that it's got a lot to do with diet. What we do with our diet. We're in control in so many ways. And we forfeit our control or give it up because we think everybody knows better than we do. But in actuality, many of us, if we really listen, understand our bodies and can create a totally different relationship to our health. Carol?
So I just had a thought and it went right out of my head listening to you. I know what it was. You and I were just discussing at AA meetings that you had seen, and so had I already know about this, that you go to a meeting where you're trying to stop using alcohol.
Which
can feed candida very well. And then you go there and you have all kinds of goodies. You usually have an urn of coffee and all kinds of sweet things. So essentially, you're given an opportunity to change the fuels for the candida over to carbohydrates that are sugar-based rather than alcohol-based. But the underlying problem with this overgrowth of candida is not addressed. And so I wonder, you know, if somebody really did a good workup on people who are having trouble with alcohol, that you might find these not only nutritional deficiencies, because I think those are rampant, but you would also find that they're full of candida if you start looking for it. And I remember talking to a nurse practitioner. I think she was based in Washington State. And she was talking about a treatment that they had for alcoholics in the practice she worked. And she said, we usually give them amino acids.
That can be powerful.
It can be powerful. These are the breakdown building blocks of proteins. But more important, I heard at a lecture many years ago about all the diseases from mycotoxins, i.e. the toxins being excreted by yeast, and that's interchangeable word with candida, that all the amino acids are antifungals or anti-candida. Isn't that wonderful? Then she said...
Naturally.
Yeah, naturally. She said then we'd have problems with people on medical assistance whose program would not pay for the amino acids, nor could they afford it. And they didn't do so well because they didn't have that particular support. So just a little pearl I thought I'd bring up about how anti-yeast, something as simple as an amino acid formula, can be.
And it can be very powerful, because what you have as some of the amino acids, glutamine is one of them, is a glycogenic. It's a it can be converted to proteins, but it also can be converted to sugar in the brain. And so what happens is it kind of calms down that desire for sugar without saturating the body with the high sugar. But before we do all this, we have to look at our bodies. We really have to look at our livers and our gallbladder. Because if we just start diving in and starting trying to kill yeast, which was what was done for years, what will happen is the body is really not ready to handle it. And more than that, the cravings become so severe with the side effects of the die-off, it becomes very, very difficult for us to maintain a program. So we, if we're really going to go after yeast, and if it's, it depends, there's different amounts. There's a mild amount that creates what Carol was saying, a urinary tract infection, a vaginal tract infection, itchy, a little itchy on the
burning.
Burning.
Yep. Think jock itch. Uh-huh. and toenail fungus and athlete's foot, all these things are yeast related.
And those can be, with a little bit of help and support and direction, dealt with dietary changes very often, supporting the liver, supporting the gallbladder. So bowels are moving so that you're getting these die-off products out of the body. That was one of the first things I did when people came to me. Is before I put them on a diet, an anti-yeast diet, I got their bowels moving. Even I got their bowels moving a little bit fast, because the die-off products, if the liver is working right and the gallbladder is working right, go into the bowel. And then they're reabsorbed, but not if the bowel is moving. So a lot of people that I would see that would go on these diets, they would get headaches, they would get joint pain, they would get brain fog. But once their bowels were moving, it would all literally go away. And you would see people just, it's almost like their eyes opened again and they felt good again. So you go step by step in dealing with candida. I think that that was one of the big mistakes that was done 15, 20 years ago. People came in with symptoms of candida. We didn't really have a good test for it. So no. So they were then treated with rivers of niastatin and diflucan. And then the minute they got off the meds, it would come right back, because the rest of the body wasn't dealt with. Their lymph system, they didn't work with the lymph system. They didn't work with the liver. They didn't work with the bowels to the degree that needed to be worked with to get this whole metabolic shift. And another thing, one thing really important that we didn't mention was hydrochloric acid.
Right. That's going to be gone.
Yeah, we're constantly, and this is normal. We're eating fungi and bringing it into our system. But once it hits the stomach and the hydrochloric acid is high, these guys don't like acidity, and they die in acidity. So they're constantly being cleaned off by our stomach juices. And if we are on very, very alkaline, like drinking alkaline water all day long, and or on proton pump inhibitors, so we're blocking our acid, we're just giving an open door to these fungi to enter the intestines. And the intestines aren't really prepared to deal with them. Carol?
I want to relate a personal experience.
Okie dokie.
So I went out to a conference in Portland, Oregon, and arrived there just in time for lunch. So my colleague and I decided to go to lunch to this restaurant that was quite near the hotel. And I had a bowl of soup, and it was asparagus soup, and it was spicy. And that was that. And then as the day went on, my tongue and then my mouth started to burn. And so part of me thought, oh, I've got a chemical burn from the spices in that soup, right? So then I'm thinking, okay, I know your mucous membranes heal very fast. Like overnight, it should make a difference. I thought, okay, I'll just go to bed and by the morning, it'll be gone. So I woke up in the night and my mouth is burning and my tongue is burning. And I thought, I couldn't go back to sleep, so I hit the computer and looking around at my symptoms, I self-diagnosed myself with, guess what, burning mouth syndrome. So,
whoa.
And then I took a look at what conventional medicine would do with that. So I went to WebMD and found to my horror that they didn't know what caused it. It seemed to come and go, and it could be chronic. It could last for years. And I go, oh, horrors. I can't settle for that solution. So I started digging a little deeper into the integrative medicine and natural medicine databases and whatever. So I found a number of things, and funny you should mention stomach acid, because that was one of the things that could help burning mouth syndrome.
That's counterintuitive.
Yeah, and then another thing was, what's candida? Candida came up. And so since I was at this conference and there were vendors there, I thought, well, I'm going to see if I can find some betaine hydrochloride by one of these supplement vendors. So there was only one, and it was a company called NFH, and they didn't have any betaine. But this woman I was talking to said, why don't you try our candida formula? Called it Candida SAP, and it had oregano, and it had garlic in it, lots of garlic. And so I took a couple capsules. You know what happened? My burning mouth just receded like magic. Within 15, wow. 20 minutes, it was gone. Wow. And I just took a few more doses over the course of that day. And that was it. And I was so dazzled by how effective this product was, for one thing, and how spot on for this burning mouth syndrome. And I'm just wondering out there how many people listening to this program right now may be using kind of strange things. I think there used to be a thing with Maalox and Benadryl mixed together for burning mouth, and other exotic compounded things, all in an attempt to avoid the pain of burning mouth. And it was entirely treatable, and not only that, resolvable within a short period of time. It's like a miracle. So
the number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Give us a call and share your experiences with this.
Along with that, if you stick out your tongue and your tongue coated with white, aha, candida.
How about, I remember On this show many years ago, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum talked about older people who constantly have gas, continuous gas, which our grandparents all did and or do, depending. And what he said, that's candida, that's yeast overgrowth, and that it can only be dealt with dietary changes and or herbals. So I'd love to talk about...
We have a caller holding.
Oh, my goodness. Hello.
Hello.
You're on BAI.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
I just wanted to let you know that in 1987, I was incapacitated for a year and a half. And I was wondering, I went to so many doctors, they couldn't tell me anything. They told me we had irritable bowel syndrome. What I had was with irritable bowel, I had brain fog, I had atypical arrhythmias. If I got 1 hour of sleep, it was amazing. My whole body was vibrating, and I was actually turning yellow. And I had gone to I went to a store to see to get a book, and there was a photo illustration of this young boy who had all these white things, all what was circular things, all over his tongue. And then when I was incapacitated, I was watching the Phil Donahue show, and there was a Dr. Berger, and the word came up with candidiasis, and the same thing, candidiasis with the kid with these circles around his tongue. And I have to tell you, when I heard that, they had about, 12 patients on, and every one of those patients showed their symptoms. I said, I have that. And I went to the store, and the health food store, and I got Dr. Crook's book, The East Connection.
Yes.
And John Park's Trowbridge. And I want to tell you, that doctor, the yeast syndrome, gave you a test. And I took the test. They said if you had over 100, you had candidiasis. I went over 150.
So wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And, turning yellow, I could imagine. But I went cold turkey, which I shouldn't have. What I was eating was a lot of fruits and grains.
Oh.
And the more I was eating, the worse I was getting. And I stopped it. And I did get deathly ill. I know it was too quick to do, but I did it. Within 2 weeks, a dramatic change came over me that I felt I couldn't even verbalize a sentence without going 2 words into the sentences. And you know what was really disgusting? I had a doctor tell me once, every other one of my patients came in with this problem. And the doctors, what they wanted to give, since they couldn't really diagnose this as you had said, the doctors wanted to tranquilize me. You know, basically, it's all in your head. This was my journey, and I have to tell you, it is. It's amazing. So I'm glad you have these shows on to enlighten people that it's not what the orthodox doctors tell you. You have to look for alternatives when they cannot help you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
I totally agree with you. And what it's something that we constantly mention on the show, that when it comes down to it, we're responsible for our health. And if you're not responding, you have to look into yourself and start piece by piece shifting so that your body gets stronger and you're able to cope physically and emotionally better with what you're going through. To just write it off, I had so many women who came to me because they were having panic attacks, they had PMS, and everybody wanted to give them Zoloft. You know, Zoloft was shown to work for female health problems, and they refused. And they came to me, and we worked with them. And sometimes it was just a piece of cake. It was so easy. But other times it took quite a bit of work. And it's amazing that you were able to make it through with such
Corinne,
a drastic.
Corinne, I just want to say one more thing, which was very important. I had such an inflammation of my bladder. I was actually hemorrhaging clots. That's how bad it was. I couldn't even stand up.
Wow. Yeah, very, very, very impressive that you turned that around.
I've taken charge of my health.
Yes, that's right. Okay, we have another caller holding.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. Hi. You're live?
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I'm alive. Hi. And I'm one. Hi, I love your show. God bless you. Listen, I got hit by a truck on June and got raced to the hospital, was in trauma for 10 days. And I, of all the things that I was on, all the medications, well, so I was in the hospital for 39 days, did physical therapy. And what was happening was I'd always had one fungal toe. But as I was in the hospital, it was getting worse and worse and turned black. So they brought in a doctor, and she said, that's disgusting. And she put an ointment on it, and she said, you've got athlete's foot. I did not have it before I went to the hospital. I came out of the hospital. All I want was sugar, vinegar, carbohydrates. That's all I wanted. I could not get off of it. My normal diet was fish and vegetable. Leaving the hospital, it's all I'm craving, and it's affected my vision. My vision is all blurry. If I have anything that has a touch of vinegar to it, everything gets blurry, gets dark. I need to get to the bottom of this. Give me three things to do. And I'll do it.
Well, first of all, I was in the hospital. I had a severe accident also. I wake up and they have a giant drip of sugar water dripping into mm-hmm. me. And I mm-hmm. got very upset and made them take it down. They said, hello, blah, 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 blah. I would not. Mm-hmm. I said, then I'm pulling the IV out. I'm not going to get this mm-hmm. sugar water. Well, you need something. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'll take something, but not sugar water. And I mm-hmm. was in the hospital for quite a while, like you were. If I had had mm-hmm. sugar water all day, every day, I would mm-hmm. have been in the same situation that you were in. Mm-hmm. So what we have to do is piece by piece start slowing this down for you. You know, you can't just, if you dive right in, the same thing is going to happen. You're just going to crave so much you can't stick with it. So where exactly. would I begin? This can't be a visit, but let's just make an outline. We want the bowels to be functioning. We want the bowels to be functioning every single day, if not twice a day. The next thing, we want to support the liver, and we want to support the gallbladder. Very, mm-hmm. very important. That's artichokes. That's dandelion tea. That's
bitters.
Stinging nettles tea. That's bitters. We also want to support the stomach. That's hydrochloric acid. That's bitters. That's at the end of the meal. At the beginning of the meal, you want digestive enzymes. So you start with digestive enzymes at the beginning of the meal. At the end of the meal, you go with...
There's also, before you get too far away from digestive enzymes, there is cellulase. Should be in your enzyme, and that breaks down the cell walls of the candida. So it's a nice addition. And then there's starving the candida, which you can do by trying to avoid the carbohydrates and the sugars and the alcohol, eat more protein and fats and complex carbohydrates. Vinegars, as you brought up, there's a cross-sensitivity between candida and the organisms that ferment the vinegar. So those generally you have to avoid that in your diet.
Particularly mm-hmm. when you're at the stage you're in. At an early stage, the vinegar doesn't interfere. It actually assists with digestion. But at a later stage, and you're in quite a late stage, you need some guidance. You need a little guidance. And when you're in that stage, vinegars are not the food for you. But lemon is mm-hmm. wonderful. And putting lemon on your vegetables and lemon on your salad and lemon in your water can be very, very beneficial. And
probiotics, because you really want to replant a healthy microbiome.
And it's got to be, I don't like the probiotics with lots and lots of probiotics in them. I like to focus more. A Saccharomyces boulardii is a very important and very good one. A Plantaris is very good. Reuteri is, did I pronounce it right, Carol?
Yeah, Reuteri, Lactobacillus reuteri.
Very important. But begin with, for about 3 days, Saccharomyces boulardii. That's really strong, and you take it for 3 days, and it starts pushing the negative yeast out of the bowel. And then you go back on the other probiotic that's a mix or a very small mix, and then you go back on the Saccharomyces for 3 days. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to condition your intestines and get things to start moving. You can't go too fast when you're sensitive as you mentioned. You got to go slowly.
And our first caller mentioned the terrible reaction she had going essentially cold turkey off the food she was eating.
Yeah.
It's called a Herxheimer reaction. You have a tremendous overreaction to all these fragments of organisms you're killing off. So one of the things is that you do this slower, so that process isn't so intense. Or another thing you should do and could do is use absorbents to help mop up these toxins. And that would be charcoal, and that would be clays, and there's special formulations all over the place as good absorbents. You can find these in the health food stores. Very good to add on to what you're doing.
You know, it sounds simple, but tremendously effective is garlic. Garlic and onions are very powerful antifungals.
Work for me. Corinne, we have another caller holding.
Okay. Thank you so much for your
call. Thank you.
And good luck. And give us a call back and let us know how you're doing, please.
Oh, I will. I will. I might even try to get an appointment with you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Our pleasure. Hi. You're live. Your name, please. Hello, are you there? Maybe not. Hello?
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Could you speak up, please?
Sure. How's it now?
A little bit better, but it could be better.
Yeah, well, I'm doing my best. I'm right up against the phone.
Thank you.
Sometimes the fungus is among us men as well.
Oh, definitely.
What happened to me, about 10 years ago, I kept getting a very, very sharp pain, lower intestinal tract towards the right side, and it was going on for weeks. And I was taking a course, and I just happened to be sitting next to a naturopathic type of person, and I mentioned it to her, and she said, "Let me see your tongue." She said, "You look like you have a little candida going," or something like that. And she said, "I'd like you to go get some probiotics from the health food store." I did it. I took them, and in 2 days, my pain was gone forever.
Wow! So you had there's two types of overgrowth in the small intestine. There's a there's a bacterial small intestine overgrowth, but there's also a fungal overgrowth in the small intestine. It sounds like maybe you had a fungal overgrowth that wasn't so intense that you were able to knock it out rapidly. I want to talk before our time is up.
Absolutely,
about
some
herbals that work very effectively. We started, one was
thank
garlic.
You so much.
The
thank
other.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you so much.
For calling. And Happy New Year. And one is garlic, as we spoke.
And oregano?
Onion. But then another is oregano, and those are drops, and they're very strong. And understand that those little yeast, I was going to say the B word, they're very smart, and they shift. So you don't want to use the same thing continuously. You want to use it for a little bit and then switch to something else like berberine or golden seal, and then or cat's claw, and then you go back to oregano, so that it really doesn't have a chance to shift and become resistant to what you're using. And there are multiple herbs that work very effectively. One of them, I like the Pau de Arco tea. I think that's very good for yeast. Now, there's lots of pharmaceuticals, but those are my last phase. They're not my first choice in terms of turning a yeast infection around. How would you do it, Carol?
Oh, that's a really good question. Short-chain fatty acids should be mentioned.
Oh, yes.
Caprylic acid, lauric acid. I've got a product that's just...
Lauric acid is from coconut oil, and you don't want the one from the grocery store. You want the organic one. Go on.
Yeah, lauricidin and monolaurin are two products that have been used very successfully in autistic kids who, incidentally, really suffer from gut problems and candida overgrowth. As I was doing this deep dive into the hormone stuff, I went to a Defeat Autism Now meeting in Chicago that year, and the whole meeting was on yeast overgrowth in autistic kids' guts. So this is a primary thing. Grapefruit seed extract is another one that's out there and
all
used
forms
successfully.
Of grapefruit. So right down to the fruit is okay. To the skin, you take the skin and dry it and use it as a bitter tea. To the seeds, all of the above works fabulously in terms of blocking intestinal yeast. Go on, Carol.
Oh, and you know, you brought up Zoloft, also from this mycotoxin conference. The main speaker said, all of the antidepressant and antipsychotic drugs are also antifungal.
Wow. That's glad you brought that up. But
if that's where you find yourself, maybe it's time you investigated what's going on in your gut and worked on that and get some freedom from the drugs, which all have pretty significant side effects.
Definitely. So we're coming to the end, Carol. Anything else you want to just point out?
Oh, so difficult. If
very
you
quick.
Have weird things going on in your body and are not getting any explanations, look at Candida. One woman referred to a questionnaire. You can find that on the internet, a Candida questionnaire. See if your symptoms...
Dr. Crook.
Are aligned with this, you might be surprised, and proceed accordingly. You have the means within your power to go to health food stores or even grocery stores and find things you need, and take care of this imbalance.
Exactly, and go slowly. You don't dive in and do everything at once. That sets you up for failure, and you think you can't deal with it when you really can. You just have to go a little slower than maybe you would want or you would think is necessary. And it can be a very powerful treatment, and you can do very, very well with it. So I want to thank you for being here with us. I want to thank Reggie for his help. I want to apologize. Somehow I got blocked out in the first half, and it had to do with my computer. And I want to say we'll be back next week. If you have any thoughts on subjects you want us to touch on, why not put them on our Facebook page or email to myself or to Carol, and we'll be glad to consider them and work on them. So we'll speak to you next week. Thank you very much for being here. Happy New Year.
Thank you. We'll be back next week.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.